Welcome to Career Tools. This week, taking advantage of an open door policy. The questions this cast answers are, what is an open door policy? How do I make an open door policy request? And what should I expect from an open door policy? To all our government managers and leaders, don't be caught off guard. While it's only May, typically your fiscal year ends in about 4 months. Which translates into, if you were considering getting your managers or professionals trained in this fiscal year, you may want to start the process now. Apart from your budgeting processes, our August and September dates tend to fill up quickly. So don't wait and lose out. We're here to support you. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools to learn about our availability and to review our many in-person and virtual training options. It's all very well for a company to have an open door policy, and on manager tools and executive tools, we've talked to managers and executives about what open door policies actually mean and how they should actually be enacted, as it were. They're not just pieces of paper. They're not just a policy that you put up on the wall and ignore. They actually mean something, and they should be enacted. It's a behavior. It's not a piece of paper on all. I was in the doctor's office yesterday, and there was a mission statement on the wall, and it had about 500 words.
Oh, my goodness.
With about 5 spelling mistakes that I could see as I stood there for about 3 minutes. And I just thought, they're educated doctors. They can't have proofread that because they would have seen those mistakes. And so the doctors obviously haven't signed off on the mission statement and don't believe it. So why is it even there? And, open door policies often have that same, it's on the wall, we don't really listen to it, we don't really read it. But if an open door policy actually exists and actually is being used in the right way in your organization and you're an individual contributor, what does that mean for you? And what does it mean for you if you want to take advantage of it? So that's what we're going to tell you.
Yeah. Our outline for today is, what is an open door policy? Don't skip your boss. Explicitly state that you are making an open door request. Plan what you're going to say and expect nothing to happen. So, what is an open door policy?
So, the definition of an open door policy is that the organization or the people in the organization know that at any time, anyone can come to the manager or an executive professionally to discuss anything about the company and its operations with special attention to management practices.
Yeah. So we've given how to have an open door policy guidance. We have on Manager Tools a podcast around this. And large firms and very small firms have open door mentalities, mm-hmm. right? But they're for fundamentally different reasons. Small firms have this because the founder or the owner of the company has probably hired everyone in the company, right? And so it's the easiest model to adapt and have new people understand that, especially small companies, there's often this kind of family structure and there's this, welcome to our family mentality. And frankly, there isn't much of a distance or a divide between the top of the organization, meaning the owner or the founder, and the bottom. It's a small company, right? So the owner generally says to everyone, hey, if there's a problem or, you need me or you need something, my door is always open. And often the founder or the owner or the CEO or whatever of the small organization simply just overpowers, because of their shadow, the shadow that they cast. So that's different than large firms, big firms. For large organizations, they have formalized policies. They're probably drafted and proofed by lawyers in the HR department, designed really to prevent a lawsuit from disgruntled employees who were either abused or mistreated or discriminated against or just managed poorly by a boss who was either, clever enough to keep it off of someone's radar or just just did enough to where they, you know, again, I was going to say fly under the radar, but it just goes unnoticed.
Right. Big enough company, there's corners where people just aren't seen.
Exactly. And so the policy exists to protect people. I mean, imagine what it would say to an employee who was told, we care about you, but then they had no recourse when the company, because of their size and scale, and some things just slip through the cracks and some people get missed. And that company hired someone who was a manager, but they were unethical or they were abusive. Even worse, imagine what that would do to the company in terms of retention and productivity long term. That there are massive ramifications there. So if there wasn't an open door policy in place, your manager could have a great deal more control or power than the organization ever intended.
So an open door policy does not mean, as we're describing it here, that the manager's door is always open. It's not one of those state of mind things. It's not a you can always come talk to me thing. It's a formal policy with defined process and boundaries. It's a something that has a common description across companies. It's not what this person means by this thing. Your boss and your boss's boss can say, my door is always open, without having an open door policy. And they can have an open door policy without saying, my door is always open. The two things are different. The policy part of it is specific. And that's what we're talking about here. If your boss says, come talk to me about anything, anytime, then you don't have to follow a lot of what we're going to say here, because this is specific to accessing the benefits of a company having this policy.
Yeah. So we've kind of talked about what it is to, you know, what an open door policy is. Now we need to talk about our next point, which is do not skip your boss. So you have a responsibility to have already discussed any issue you would bring to an open door in terms of this policy with your boss, have already discussed this with your boss. You have to have allowed your boss to try and solve the problem. In fact, you may well be told that you have to have allowed them to follow or to try to solve it more than once, right? Before you escalate it or bring it, you know, to an open door.
Yeah, it's a bit like if you buy a car and you want to return it to the manufacturers, the first thing they'll say to you is you have to take it back to the place you bought it and give them a chance to fix it. You have to give your manager a chance to fix it first. And like feedback, where nearly every time somebody starts to talk to us about feedback and the feedback model, they're always, nearly always, talking about negative feedback. There's this assumption that feedback is always negative and open door policy is always about issues. And it's unlikely that you would go over your boss's head about something positive. Like, you just don't go to your boss's boss and go, I want to have a party for my boss, or I want to have a party for the whole department because they're so awesome. It just doesn't happen. So an open door policy is nearly always negative. And that almost certainly means it's difficult to discuss and that you might not feel comfortable discussing it with your boss. That's almost certainly the case. But the open door policy does not exist for you to avoid having difficult conversations. Unfortunately, there are things that we don't want to talk about with certain people, and there's other people with whom we feel like, oh, I'd be more comfortable discussing this with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can't avoid having those conversations with the people we would rather not have them with. And we don't get to skip having that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be clear, the open door policy is not the same as whistleblowing, and it's not confidential. And we should be clear here, we're not giving legal advice. This is not, you know, we're not legal experts. But the open door policy is not meant to take on that responsibility or that role. So you should assume that whatever is discussed will be discussed with your boss. and potentially even your coworkers. So that difficult conversation is going to happen, whether you want it to or not. And it's better if it happens by you bringing it to your boss rather than going around your boss and then having to have the conversation.
Yeah. So much better to say, hey, boss, I want to have a difficult conversation than your boss's boss coming down and saying, oh, so Andrew tells me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's yeah. never good.
If the conversation's already going to be difficult, don't amplify it. Don't pour gasoline on it by starting from a place of going around and circumventing your boss. Not a good start.
No. And the open door policy is not for issues of illegal or unethical behavior. Organizations that have published organization-wide open door policies almost certainly have ethics, compliance, and grievance processes that are outside of the open door policy. Mm-hmm. Companies which are big enough to have these kind of policies also have compliance and grievance and all sorts of other policies. So one policy, to give you a specific example, one of the policies we saw said that the open door policy covered disciplinary action, work assignments, interpretation or application of policies and procedures, transfer and non-supervisory promotions or other employment issues, performance evaluations, existing HIA policies and procedures, and personal conflicts with coworkers and supervisors are not open door issues. And that's one of the things that people would like to be open door policy issues. You know, I don't like my colleague. I'm going to take it to the open door policy and have someone sort them out. And the answer is, that's not an open door policy. You have to go decide that you're going to work with them or leave the company. And people mm-hmm. don't like that, you know. But the organization doesn't exist to sort out your personal problems, unfortunately. The purpose of this policy, the one we looked at, and all open door policies, is to get resolution for issues that can't be resolved at the current level. In other words, if your boss can resolve the problem, even if it's an uncomfortable conversation for you, then it should be resolved at that level, and the open door policy isn't required. Needing to access the open door policy means that it needs a higher level of authority in order to sort out the problem.
Yeah. And this might sound condescending, so just let me preface with that. But an open door policy is not an opportunity for you to whine about the things about your boss that you don't like. Your boss's approach, or, you know, the words that they use, the approach that he or she takes, the decisions that she makes, in the vast majority of cases, these are not issues that your boss's boss will be willing to do anything about. Should they? Maybe, right? But the reality of the situation is, it's unlikely that they will. The fact that your boss is still being paid, despite the fact that the organization is almost certainly aware of whatever the issues are that you're, you know, complaining about, means that somewhere, someone is willing to accept the behavior, or it doesn't quite cross the line into unethical or, you know, against
unacceptable to this organization.
Right, exactly.
And finally, the open door policy is not a chance for you to ask dad for what mom won't give you. You know, mm-hmm. like little children do, they ask mom for something and then mom says no. So they go and ask dad to see if dad will say yes when mom didn't get it. You know, if you've made the case for whatever it is you want, whether it's the way to solve a problem or a pay rise, and you did not prevail, the open door policy is not there to solve that problem for you. Failing in this case, it tells you that you need to work on your relationships and your persuasion skills. If you didn't prevail, then you need to work on your argument or your ability to argue for what you want or what you believe in. You don't get to manipulate the system. You just get that feedback that you need to work harder on your relationships and your persuasion.
Right. Don't think of this as a club or a cudgel right. for, you know, to use against your boss.
Velvet hammer, whatever they say.
The velvet hammer. Yeah.
There is a new session of our Virtual Effective Communicator Conference on the 12th of June. It's a 1 4.5-hour virtual session where we go through the empty disc model. We talk about the four different styles, and then we practice observing and tailoring so that when you leave that 1 4.5-hour session, you are ready to communicate differently with the different people in your organization and get better results. What other 4.5-hour training can make this much difference? None that I've ever been to. So go to our website, look for training in the menu bar, and look for Virtual Effective Communicator Conference in the dropdown. If the 12th of June doesn't suit you, there is one every month through the year.
So our next point is explicitly state that you're making an open door request. Now, this may seem overly formal or not as casual as you would like it to be, but the bottom line is, especially in large organizations, there's a special set of actions which an executive or someone who is in receipt of an open door request needs to be able to do. And if it comes across as a more casual request, they don't have to treat it with the same set of behaviors. So just be clear, right? Be clear that you're making an open door request. And so, you know, I think of things like, if it's a open door request, in most organizations that I've worked in, the person receiving the request has an obligation to try to hear that person out as quickly as possible. And sometimes there's a limit of within the day or within 24 hours. And if that's the case, give them the opportunity to do that by being very clear about the request. So if they need to rearrange their calendar or if they need to move other things, having the words open door request in an email or, you know, whatever medium you're using to communicate this would be really helpful. So just be very clear. This is an open door request.
Next, plan what you're going to say. The open door meeting is a business meeting. It's not a story time or a gripe session. And it's not just for you to be heard. If you just want to be heard and for no action to be taken, then you're talking to the wrong person. If you want to be heard, you need a friend or a therapist or maybe a colleague at lunch, but you don't want to be talking to your boss's boss. The point of this meeting is that if there is action to be taken, the person you're speaking to has the power to take that action. And this person is the person who can make that happen. That's the whole point of being able to move up the ladder of you know, to be able to access someone you wouldn't normally be able to access. That's the point of this. So if you want a problem to be solved, then you have to be able to lay it out in a logical, rational, unemotional way. And we recommend that you start with bottom line up front. And remember, you are talking almost certainly to an executive, and they're used to people who can communicate succinctly and effectively. So you can use this structure after. So bottom line up front means you say the thing that's most important at the beginning, and then you could use this structure for the rest of what you want to say. So describe the problem, describe what has been tried, describe what has not been tried and why, and describe the solution that you think is the one that should be tried.
Our last point is, don't expect anything to happen, right? In fact, expect nothing will happen. While we said, you know, the meeting is not just an opportunity for you to be heard, there's no guarantee that what the solution that you want is what's best for the organization. There's no guarantee of resolution or that the change will be made. If changes are made, there's no guarantee that they will be the ones you want to be made. The open door policy is not a mediation. It's not a negotiation. And often what I think a lot of people go into this conversation thinking is, this is how we'll achieve that like win-win scenario or that win-win outcome. And that's not something you should go in with that expectation. No one is trying to make sure there's a win for everyone from this.
Yeah, it's more of an alerting than it is a, here I have a problem and the solution. Even though you do have a solution and you have a potential solution and you can say, these are the things that have been tried and this is the thing that I think will work, the people, the executives, often see the problem in a different way because they're sitting at a different level to you. They see it in a broader way. And so they see the solutions differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you think may or may not happen may be different. A lot of the time, the people that have hosted open door policies say that most of the time they either don't want to or cannot take the action that's requested. So the person comes into the open door meeting with a specific solution in mind, and the executive either doesn't want to because they see ramifications that the person doesn't see or can't take that action. And sometimes what seems to be a big deal to the person who's making the request doesn't seem to be a big deal when you can see the broader picture as the executive does. It's not a big deal within the grand scope of the organization. And remember, we're talking about big organizations here with hundreds of thousands of employees. Sometimes the executive will take the time to explain this, and sometimes they won't. And if they don't, sometimes that makes the person feel like they weren't heard, nobody listened to them, and nobody changed anything. And a lot of the time, it's not that they weren't heard. It's just within the scope of the greater organization, it didn't make sense to make the change that they wanted.
Yeah, and I know this is going to sound maybe glib or flippant or cold, but that's part of being part of an organization. Is subordinating yourself and realizing that I don't get to make all the decisions. I don't get, you know, I have to own or, you know, work within the confines of decisions that are made that I may not agree with. And if you really don't like it, start your own company, right? I mean, there's options, you know, if you want to have ownership over all the decisions, you can. Just start your own company. And then you'll realize you're at the mercy of your customers' decisions. But it's, you know, it's one of those things it's always tough. I understand and I can empathize with having to kind of own decisions that you don't like or don't agree with, but it's part of joining an organization.
And remember that executives speak for the company and the company will support its managers. People say that as if it's a bad thing. And, you know, usually the people that are saying that are saying it because from their perspective, it is a bad thing. But any executive has a vested interest in supporting the people they put into the management positions. In the same way that you would hope that your manager would support you because they put you into that position. And that has a large effect on what action is taken or what's perceived to be taken. And, you know, you can expect that they will support the manager, and that their evaluation of the situation weights more heavily the manager's side of the story or the manager's perspective on what's happening than yours.
And Wendy mentioned something that was really astute. I mean, the perceived action that's taken after you have this meeting, because even if action is taken, you may not see it. First of all, significant action takes time. Maybe there's evidence that needs to be gathered or people that need to be notified or contingencies that have to be made or a plan that needs to be created. Even if the solution seems easy to you, the fact that it's not happening right now means that someone needs to be persuaded. I mean, if the solution were that simple or that clear, that's what we'd be doing, right? So you're in this situation for a reason, to do some persuading or to do some influencing. And so that means more people need to be persuaded or influenced. And hopefully you've gotten in the right open door and they'll start to work on that. But that doesn't mean it's going to be able to happen at the drop of a hat. So even when nothing seems to be happening, something might be happening and you just don't know or don't see the effects of it. It's also possible that the executive decides to talk to your boss and, you know, the fact that that conversation is happening, you may not be privy to that. So that could also be a thing.
Expect to be told to talk to your boss. In our experience, 9 times out of 10, individual contributors fall foul of the caveats that we've talked about. The issues that they bring to the executives should have been resolved at the level of their manager, but they're either unwilling or unable to have that conversation. And all the executive does is hear them out and then say, you need to talk to your manager about that. And that executive, a lot of the time, won't even lay the path for you. They're not even going to say, I'll talk to him and I'll tell him that he has to listen to you. They're not even going to do that for you. They won't go to the manager and say that I heard him. He's got a fair point. You should listen. Mm-hmm. Because that would be taking sides with you against the manager. And they're not going to do that. So part of an executive's job is to know when to step in and when not to. And almost certainly, if this is a situation which doesn't merit an open door, then it's not a situation where they need to step in. And they won't, because they need to save those moments for when they actually do need to step in.
This kind of reminds me, Wendy, of our podcast. I think it's on Manager Tools. Have you talked to them about peer conflict, right? Yes. So if there's peer conflict, a good thing for managers to say is, well, have you talked to them, right? Because if you're just stewing or festering about an issue, right, you probably ought to bring it to the person you're having the issue with. It's the same thing here and the beginning of this guidance when we talked about you have to give your boss the chance to solve the problem first, right? So think to yourself, have I done what I can do before I bring it to the next level?
So this guidance makes it sound like open door policies are completely pointless, but which is not true. And they exist for a reason, and we absolutely believe that they should be in large organizations. But a great manager who is approachable and has great relationships with his staff doesn't need an open door policy, because he listens to their arguments, explains the decisions he makes, takes time to give them feedback, and coach them. It's almost as if the kind of manager who has an open door policy is the kind of manager who doesn't need one. And the kind that doesn't have one or has one imposed on them by the organization is much less likely to be listening to you and much less likely to be changed by an open door policy, which is a kind of sad statement on life. Mm-hmm. But if your organization has one and you need to access it, hopefully some of the guidance that we've given you makes it a successful use of the policy. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.